Greetings from Loonsville, this is Sid, and I am here with Jeff. And this time we're doing video.
Well, yeah. I mean, the movie didn't suck.
No, it didn't.
We watched the 2020 remake of Castle Freak, which I'm a big fan of Stuart Gordon. And of, oh my God, now I can't remember his first name. What was Paoli's first name?
Huh?
Danny, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The original Castle Freak was made by Stuart Gordon and...
Oh, yeah.
Danny Paoli.
Yeah, or Dennis.
Dennis? Is it Dennis?
It might be.
Damn it, why you gotta do this to me? You gotta make me do it. Because it's gonna... I think it's Danny. It might not be. It might be Dennis. You might be right. And I can't... What? No, Castle Freak. Yeah, Stuart Gordon. Dennis. You're right. Cool. Cool, 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 cool.
Which, the original Castle Freak, I thought was, like, the weakest out of his Lovecraft adaptations. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I might give it that. I'm biased, though. I think the Gordon Paoli connection was fucking fire, dude. Everything those two did together was pretty great to me.
Well, and then you throw like Charles Band in there. He produced the original and this one, actually.
Yeah. It's is it safe to say, like, right off the bat, it was fire? I liked it. I was not entirely mad at it.
No, I liked it too. It
felt more Lovecraftian to me than the original did, which was cool.
Well, they added a lot of additional mythology within the story.
Right. That's what I mean. It was more Lovecraftian. Like, the mythos was there instead of it not being there. And I mean, I had talked to I had talked to Barbara Crampton about it a couple times and what was happening with this version of the movie and everything, because I was surprised I didn't see anything about it on the credits or anything, but I'm pretty sure Barbara Crampton herself was one of the driving forces behind this movie's remake and the production of it. So she had a lot of insight into the movie. Shout out to Barbara Crampton, the original actress in the first Castle Freak, also in Reanimator.
And also... from beyond.
There you go. Barbara Crampton's an amazing actress. She's in a lot of stuff, and she is a lovely person. So she gets shout outs and hugs. Seriously though, huge fan. I adore her. She's wonderful. It had some minor little things in it that I wasn't really big on, but none of it was story. I thought the story was perfect. I have notes on some of the acting, which is weird for me because it's usually the other way around. Like, a lot of the stuff that we watch or that I watch, the acting is always pretty high tier. Well, I shouldn't say always. There's been some flukes in that statement, but a lot of the time, you know, the acting is great. The people on screen keep you in it, you know. And for me, some of this stuff, like some of the delivery, was just
off.
It was kind of shit.
Yeah, with this, I think they changed enough for it to be semi-new, but it still felt like Castle Freak. Like, it felt like it could have been made within, like, the 80s or early 2000s. It didn't feel like a...
Or right in between those, and you could get the original release year.
Through, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. The feel is completely there. The tone of the movie, the way it's shot, lit, everything, it really fits with the original. Except for, I mean, the cameras are higher quality.
Yeah.
It's not as grainy, obviously.
I like the changes they made, and I liked the addition of the more mythos-oriented story.
I really appreciated that. I definitely appreciated that. The original, it would be... I appreciate the original movie for what it is, but to me, it's easier to watch it and not think of it as a Lovecraft anything, because it's really not there. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great movie, but I feel like a lot of the Lovecraftian elements to the story are kind of not present. They're not, like, in the forefront of the movie. Where in this one, you know, they got the Necronomicon in there, and they talk about the old ones, and they talk about Cthulhu, which doesn't really have anything to do with this movie, but he's an old one.
Mentioned.
So, you know, he's...
And Yog-Sothoth and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that they brought that to the forefront of the plot, the story, the movie. It kind of... I want to make a sphere, you know, like it rounds it out nicely. I really liked that. I appreciated that. Like, when she found that book in the closet, I was like, oh shit, that bitch found the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
Which was weird, but at the same time, it was awesome. It was like awesome weird.
Yeah. I mean, I really liked it. I did like, the original didn't have like one of those big endings like you would expect from after watching like Reanimator, From Beyond, and even Dagon.
Yeah.
This movie does. It's like
the way the original Castle Freak ended, it was kind of... I mean, it didn't have a bad ending. I'm not trying to say that. It wasn't a grand ending.
It wasn't a Stuart Gordon ending.
Yeah, I mean, that's a safe way to say it.
This one kind of was.
Yeah, I feel like he would have been proud of this. I feel like he would have liked the way that this came out. I was really... Did you watch into the credits?
No.
Oh my god. All right. So after we're done with this, you have to go in and watch into the credits, because there's a scene in the credits, and I can't tell you what it is, but watch it. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to say anything about it, but you're going to want to watch that.
What is there talking?
It's a whole scene. There's like a 2-minute scene that takes place during the credits. I mean, I suppose I can just say, so the professor walks into an office to meet with another, I'm guessing, professor, and there's a guy sitting in front of the professor at the desk, and as he moves, there's a a vial of neon green liquid sitting in front of him on the desk.
Are they setting up a new reanimator?
I kind of was thinking that when I saw it. I was like, I got a little tinkle in my eye, you know, like, I was like, ooh.
I'm actually glad that all these movies are coming out. Like, because we have, we're going to have Richard Stanley's trilogy.
Yep.
If this turns out to be a trilogy, that's awesome too.
This, I know it's already a two-parter. From the conversation I had about this movie.
Yeah.
I never talk about things before shit actually happens, because that's just bad form. And I feel like that sets you up for failure when it comes to talking to people about shit. You know, nobody wants to talk to the guy that's going to be like, hey, guess what I heard. But I already knew before watching this that there is more to come from it. But I don't know what exactly it is. I don't know if they hadn't really nailed down what they were going to go into from it, or if they just can't say, or a little bit of both. But I'm kind of hoping that that's a reanimator setup.
Yeah. A new Herbert West movie would be.
I mean, I was pleasantly surprised by this. I'm not going to lie.
We've watched a lot of shit lately, though.
Yeah, that's true. And I've watched a lot of old stories made new and remakes and stuff like that lately. And it really, it's kind of depressing. Like, not curl up in a ball depressing, just like, man, why depressing, you know? Like, some of this stuff. Like, we just did Black Christmas, and that was fucking god-awful. The Witches was trash. Specifically shit that's been remade in the last couple years. Like, I don't always hate on remakes. Some of the remakes turn out better than the originals because it's fans, it's passion, and it's technology coming of age so that they have the ability to do shit that they couldn't before.
Yeah, like The Fly, for example.
Dude, Goldblum for life, all right? Fucking, I loved The Fly. Like, I don't know why anybody ever let me watch The Fly when I was a kid. Check this out, all right? I don't know if you ever saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the cartoon, the original.
Yeah.
But I had seen The Fly before Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and when Baxter Crane, the doctor, scientist, gets turned into a fly, I was like, oh yeah, shit, it's The Fly. Like,
that was more like classic Fly, though.
Yeah, right? But I totally took it there, and nobody else got it.
Yeah, I remember being a kid watching the Cronenberg Fly. It's weird, like, at least my generation, most of us seen these movies when we were, like, young.
Yeah, I think I saw The Fly when I was, like, 4.
We had it on VHS, and I'd pop it in all the time.
It's a great movie. If you haven't seen The Fly, check it out. But yeah, it's nice to see people do justice to an original work, but also elevate it. You know what I mean? Instead of doing neither of those things. I don't want to say shitting on the legacy that was left by the original, but...
Well, I think they stand pretty equal ground. This one and the...
Yeah.
Original. But like I said, I feel like the original was one of the weaker Stuart Gordon...
I feel like
Lovecraft movies.
I feel like had this ending, it wouldn't have been weaker. And had it had a lot of the stuff that was in this, it wouldn't have been weaker. I was a little, I mean, it's kind of perverse and fucked up for me to say. I was a little disappointed that the fucking cunnilingus scene was not in this one.
Yeah.
But they changed it out for a blowjob scene, so I guess, like, I was like, oh shit, is she gonna bite his dick off? She didn't. I don't want to ruin it, but spoiler alert, dicks do not get eaten.
No, but dicks shoot, or tentacle dicks shoot out of places where they...
Yeah, what the fuck was that? We'll get into that shit.
That's what I'm, like, the... That seemed very Stuart Gordon-esque. Like, the ran, like...
Yeah.
Eyeballs coming out of twats and everything. Like, became a...
I liked how the fucking... The dick protruded from the dude's chest, his sternum, and his stomach during the fuckinging. And he's just standing there, and the dick is thrusting itself. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, she's moving like he's thrusting, but he's just standing still. But you got this big old snake fucking dick. Yeah, you'd die too if you were carrying around a fucking 8-foot python in your jeans. Well, I say jeans, but what I really mean is inside your entire body, because it rolled back up into his entire body.
I think it's he carried out his role, and then he...
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He was possessed by the Ancient Ones, and they fucking didn't need him anymore. He was a vessel. He served his purpose. He died. The girls were born, and then blah, blah.
No, I do like in the original, the Castle Freak is more of a sympathetic character, and I liked that. Yeah. Because he's just a real person.
And it's a he.
Yeah.
You had a male freak. And yeah, he was beaten, abused, and left. And he was caged. And he was reported to be dead. And the mother never told anybody that he was locked down there and stuff. So,
well, he was deformed and stuff like this one. But
it was actually almost identical. The makeup for the freak in this one was super close to the original, which I appreciated. It was good.
So in the original, he's more sympathetic. He seemed like because he was just a regular guy who was deformed, that was like tortured his entire life and then left.
Yeah, he was beaten with whips and shit, and I mean,
how did he do it in the original? It's been forever since I've seen it. He like ripped off his, broke his thumb or something to get out of the chains.
To get out of the cuff, yeah. Yeah, he pops his thumbs.
Yeah. This one, she just gets the key.
Yeah, because in the original, they don't really have the guy selling the castle sticking around, hanging out, trying to complete the prophecy, because there isn't really a prophecy. So in this one, they got, you know, a guy that's trying to achieve an end game that's helping the freak out.
Yeah, in the original, this character, the seller, or the lawyer, or whatever, or the broker, it was just a regular guy, and he actually thinks that the husband in the original is the murderer. He doesn't know. I kind of like that. It was more of a mystery, but it was very like...
Yeah, I liked it also. I'm a big fan of the original.
This one, I didn't like that character in this one very much. Like, I think that'd be like one of my main gripes. I didn't like
part. Yeah. There were a lot of characters I didn't like, but that's because you're not supposed to like them. And then there's him who I didn't like just because, I don't know, I guess it fits the narrative and everything, but I don't know. I feel like you could have just taken that character out.
The
broker that isn't actually a broker.
Yeah.
But I mean, it works. I'm not saying it was bad to have him in there. I'm just saying it could have been done without him.
Yeah.
I mean, he did get some great makeup effects, though. So,
yeah.
It was worth having him in there to see that shit, I guess. Watch him get his face bitten into and stuff. There were some other things. It's got some negatives to it, which is cool. I'm not upset about that at all. I'm almost glad that the movie wasn't completely perfect. I don't know why. I mean, it's weird, but I thoroughly enjoyed both in like loving everything about what was happening and picking it apart while I was watching it.
Yeah.
Which is weird for me. It's totally not normal. I'm usually it's either here or it's here. And like shit in between, it was good, but it didn't meet, you know, the bar. And this, like, it's hitting the bar at the same time. I'm like, why the fuck does he have a pile of wood on the side of the fireplace, but he just came in with a bundle of wood?
To go do his drugs.
It was before the drugs. Like, I didn't get it. I was like, why? Who planned this? Who was like, all right, you're going to carry in some sticks to put them in the fire? And why wasn't the actor like, but there's a bundle of fucking wood right there. Why am I carrying sticks in? Shut up, just do it, okay? That's the scene, that's how we're shooting it. No, it was... I liked a couple of the other changes in the movie, too. It's not a blind daughter. It was the girlfriend herself, and that she was the sister, and all of that to tie the whole prophecy mythos thing in, and I'm not usually a fan of such drastic changes to things that I really liked.
Yeah.
Story-wise, but, you know, like I always say, and I can't say it enough, if you're going to change something, honor the original and elevate it at the same time. Don't change a bunch of shit if it's going to fucking ruin everything that was great about the original. And they changed so much, but so little at the same time. Which is, it's like a fucking tightrope, you know, like a balancing act and a half. And they, in my opinion, I think they absolutely nailed it.
Yeah. They did a good job.
They absolutely did. The movie, it starts out different too. The whole like party lifestyle and that resulting in a car accident that rendered the girl blind and everything.
Yeah.
It was unexpected. And at first I was like, what? And then I remembered that the daughter was blind in the original. And I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, in the original, the wife can't forgive him about the death of their son.
Yeah.
And in this one, she's having a hard time forgiving him for her.
But she
both
isn't.
Of them are due to like driving while intoxicated.
Yeah.
But she was the one that was injured and became blind as a result.
You know what? I'm just gonna fucking say it right now. That boyfriend was a douchebag and a half. He was such an asshole. I hated him most of the movie, and I didn't understand why she was still with him. This fucking guy, he straight up steals half a bottle of Crown from a dude, swigs it, and then gets in a car and drives, and he like pushes her. And he's like, I got this. And he's got an attitude. He's drinking beer while he's still driving. Then he drives off the road, renders her blind. And then she stays with him. And she's like, it's okay, it's not your fault. It was absolutely his fucking fault. Like, what are you talking about? It couldn't be any more his fault. Like, yeah, he didn't make you blind, but he made you blind. Like, he did that. And it was weird to me that she stayed with him. And that he ever had an attitude in any given situation. Like, the fact that you're still with her, you should shut the fuck up. And then, towards the latter end of the movie, he's like, it's my fucking castle. And I'm like, how, dude? Like, you're not even married to her. You're right. Straight up dating a chick that inherited a castle right now. You're disposable as fuck. You have no claim to any of this. But whatever.
In the original, it was the guy's family, right?
I think so, yes. I'm pretty sure it was his mom's. I think it was his mom's place, and I think the freak was his uncle.
Nah, it was a longer stretch of time than his mom. I forget. It's been forever since I watched it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. So, I mean, you'll have to forgive me for not.
This one is like one generation.
Yeah.
From the castle. And then I think the original is maybe a couple generations. Because the freak is a full-grown adult, and the lady is old when she dies, and the adult man still doesn't know anything about her. So it's not a mom. I don't think he's adopted or anything.
Yeah, it could have been his grandparents. I still think that the freak was his uncle. It would have to be, because the only other thing I was thinking was that it was his brother, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't his brother.
No.
But they kept all the same notes for the freak, the whole perviness and creeping around. This one actually crept around the castle a lot more.
Yeah.
In the original, he kind of stayed to the basement and didn't really come out. I mean, I think there's maybe a handful of scenes, maybe only a few, where he's, you know, behind the walls and shit.
Uh-huh.
Peeking through holes, much like she does in this one. But none of the, like, coming out into the actual open of the castle.
Yeah.
That I can remember.
Especially not when people are awake.
Yeah. That's actually important to note, because I'm pretty sure in the original, the freak climbs into bed with Barbara Crampton while she's sleeping, or at least walks out into the room while she's sleeping.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely not like broad daylight walking around. It was a cool change, though. I mean, yeah. I enjoyed all of the things that they changed about this movie. They really didn't hurt the enjoyment, I guess. I'm trying to find the right words. They didn't hurt the original or the functionality of the new one.
Yeah.
Like the believability. It was really well done. And I really enjoyed, I think there were like two scenes where I feel like they got edited early. Like, you get some of the really good shots of the castle from the distance, but then when she's walking out into the the courtyard, I guess I would call it. I don't know what you would call it. With the broker that's not a broker. They start panning right into like the overlook of the city, but then it cuts before you get this grand view. And like she says, it sounds like a view, and then it cuts. And I'm like, well, what the fuck, dude? I have working eyes. Can I see this view? It looks beautiful. And they're like, no, you hear the air. But maybe they did that on purpose because
maybe. It
kind of connects you to her. She can't see it, and neither can you. But
unless they had a runtime issue and they just decided that was the only extra space.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. The castle is gorgeous. I'm not sure if that is in the same town. I can't remember. I think the original was shot in Italy.
Probably.
But this one was shot in Albania. It takes place in Albania. And I can't remember any like really wide shots of the original castle. There might have been some. I can't remember them right now. But like the shots that they did of the castle in this one, they were beautiful. Like it's a massive castle. And I really liked that. I don't know why. I like weird, stupid shit. Like, just, it doesn't even matter to the movie. Like, you could build a set and film all that shit, but they didn't. They actually rented a castle. They rented the castle in the original, too. I remember some conversations about that. The actress that played the daughter and Barbara Crampton and shit, man, what was his name?
Who?
The actor in the original.
Jeffrey Combs.
Thank you. Yeah. Believe me, that was bothering the shit out of me because he's in fucking everything, Reanimator. And so yeah, Barbara, Jeffrey, the actress that played the daughter, the director, I think one of the producers, all lived in that castle while they filmed the original movie. And they stayed there, fuck, what was it, like a month and a half or something while they did all those shots?
Yeah, probably.
And I'm kind of wondering if they did the same thing on this one, you know? Like, because they've got to rent the castle to film. So, like, why not live there? And, I mean, you're looking at it when they do that big shot. There's got to be, like, 60 rooms in this place. It's just, it's huge. I'd love to own a castle, man.
Right.
I always wanted one. I don't know how well that would work for me with my whole, like, internet needs. like, on my end, it just looks like I'm moving my hands, but this is a whole array of technology in front of me that people can't see. Like, screen here, fucking cameras, cameras, cameras. I've got so much shit. And yes, there really is three cameras. It's great. I have a fourth camera around here somewhere, actually, that I was thinking about setting up and pointing at, like, my nuts or something. Just running an OnlyFans while we do this. Like, you can watch above the belt and below the belt.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm not.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, somebody suggested it, And I was like, that's the stupidest shit I have ever heard. Who is going to pay to look at my fucking nuts while I stream? And then they were like, have you ever seen OnlyFans? People actually do that. And I was like, really? Interesting. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. But...
What would you give this movie for a rating?
Ooh. What are we going to do? Are we going to do... if we're doing letters, I'm definitely giving this an A. If we're going to do numbers, if I was to numerically rate it, I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 5. Like, I'll definitely do it just because I'm a big fan of the original. I loved everything about it. It was, I don't know why. I mean, I think I saw it the first time I saw fucking Castle Freak. I was like 14 years old. And it was really unique to me. And then I just watched it again. Shit. Like February of or March of this year for the first time since then, and it was still great. Like, I picked up on stuff I hadn't really noticed the first time I watched it, and
yeah,
it was cool. I did a whole like fucking Stuart Gordon week. I watched Reanimators and this and some other stuff, but I think the justice done to the original and the further story development, like the other one has story development. I'm not saying it doesn't, but the further story development in like the realm of the Lovecraftian lore really, it gets my praise. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot, man. I give it fucking all the thumbs up and an erection.
I'd give it a B-.
That's a dick. It's a big old fucking snake cock.
Right, and a claw.
Yeah, no, a B- isn't a bad fucking rating at all. I mean, you could definitely shave it up to a B, like, there was at least fucking 6 boobs in this movie. Joe Bob would give it a B.
That doesn't do much for me.
There was like a fucking snake cock with a claw on the end.
Yeah. I'm used to ones with faces.
Yeah. Yeah, Kaufman would definitely like this movie. It'd give him some ideas. Man, the way that thing just unfurled itself from her vagina, too, dude. It just... what? Like, the first time it comes shooting out and wraps around the professor's neck. And then the second time, it just...
Yeah.
No, it... Yeah, it was great. There's a lot of highlights to this movie. And... none of them are PG-13.
No, which is good.
Which is absolutely wonderful. It's one of the things that worries me most when people tackle projects like this, is that they are just gonna... they're gonna ruin it. They're gonna try and make it for massive audiences and get as many people to see it as possible and not just, you know, produce something for the people that should be watching it, or adults.
Yeah.
You don't make movies like this for 13-year-olds. You just don't.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying 13-year-olds shouldn't watch this, because they should. I'm just saying it shouldn't be made to get a PG-13 rating. And they do that with a lot of shit lately.
Yeah.
And it upsets me. I don't think any horror movie should try and tackle a PG-13 rating. I think you go for the fucking R, you make it the way it should be made, and...
I don't know, I think The Ring did a decent job when they tackled it for a PG-13.
Yeah.
And The Grudge. The PG-13 was better than that fucking rated R one.
Yeah, I'm not gonna deny that either. I won't argue that. I mean, like, brutal, gruesome horror movies. You know what I mean? Like, would you make a fucking Friday the 13th movie in PG-13?
Yes, you could. But you'd have to be more, you know, the first one was more of a mystery of not knowing who was doing it, so it couldn't be Jason, I don't think.
I mean, it could, but you're not going to get any of the kills.
Yeah, so...
You could show very little.
Yeah, so I want to do a Jason story, but if you were to remake the first remake one...
the original...
Yeah.
That would just irritate the shit out of me if somebody did that.
Yeah, but you said if...
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, yeah, I agree with you that would definitely work for that, and it wouldn't come out poorly at all, because the original, there's not nearly as much brutality, and a lot of the time it's cuts, and then it shows bodies laying there. I think there might be a couple machete kills in the original.
Yeah, in the Arrow.
Yeah, I guess the Kevin Bacon death. He's still, man, one of the best death scenes in the 80s, but bar none.
If they were smart, they'd add black magic and have it just be black goo.
Yeah. Fuck it. They should have changed the name from Black Christmas to Black Goo. Just like, oh, I hate to disappoint you, but goo.
Gloop Christmas.
Yeah. God, that movie was just a pile of ass.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm scrolling through Twitter today, and somebody said, you know, I've never rated a movie with one star, and I hate to do it, but this movie was a piece of shit. And I was like, man, that sounds just like me watching Black Christmas. I always look for anything that I can appreciate and rate, you know, based upon, like, if there's great dialogue, but the movie is shit, I'll still give it to the writer and, you know, give them credit. Or if it's well shot, if the production value is there, or, you know, if the directing is amazing, anything. If the cinematography is fucking mind-blowing, I'll be like, hey, at least, you know, you get 2 stars for that.
That's a 2-star?
But, well, some cinematography fucking... Have you ever seen a Peter Jackson movie?
Yeah.
I mean... If the whole entire fucking Lord of the Rings was a pile of shit, I would still give it 2 stars just for the fucking camera shots.
I think his older movies are better. Fucking Meet the Feebles.
Did you like his King Kong?
It was okay.
Yeah. Okay. We are not in disagreement on that.
I mean, so I'm going to go out of my way to watch it again.
I have actually never seen it since I saw it in theaters. So I've never felt the need to watch it a second.
The only reason to watch it is because of this, the special effects.
Yeah,
you gotta
fast forward a few times. I'm not gonna say it was terrible, but it was pretty much just an homage to the original.
Yeah.
And
that's what most of them were until, like, Kong Skull Island.
Dude, and King of the Monsters. I don't even know if that's out yet. Is that out yet?
King of the Monsters?
Yeah.
The Godzilla one.
Yeah, okay, so that one's out, and it's not King of the Monsters. The Godzilla versus King Kong movie is that.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Okay. That's, Yeah. That's definitely going to be on the you should watch list.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't have to fight hard on this one though.
Nah.
To try and rate it high. This one just deserves it.
Yeah, I would give it a B minus. Maybe a C plus.
Would you stop it? Stop going down. You go up. If you second guess yourself, you go higher. You don't go lower. Like, you know what? Maybe I'll just fucking say D. Like,
no, I'm just kidding. Better than D. You can rate it. C plus is a good rating.
You can rate it however you want. I mean, a B minus is pretty close to a 4.5 stars. I think a C plus would be a 3.5 star.
Maybe.
So, I mean, that's still a good rating.
What do we do? A, B, C, D, and F, right?
What about E?
So, yeah, that'd be 5 stars. So, out of 5.
Yeah.
You're right.
I would like to talk about a couple of scenes in the movie, though, since we've already pretty much talked about how awesome a lot of it was.
Yeah.
So the fuckening scene. Which gets alluded to and flashbacked upon. Yeah, that's proper. That's a weird thing to say, flashbacked upon. It just doesn't sound right, but it is. But so you have this entire cult of people trying to bring the old ones back. And you got this chick, she's bound, hands behind her head like this, on a slab, a concrete slab, in the middle of this courtyard with some, like, Stonehenge shit going on around it.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's how I'm going to describe it. And then, so you have her father, who is possessed by an old one. Raping her? I didn't even want to say it, but I mean, that's what's going on.
Yeah, they pulled the Michael Myers.
Yeah, they totally did. Holy shit. God. You know what? I liked it a lot more in this movie. Not that came out wrong. Okay, that... Who edits this? It worked better in this movie. I really like that dad on daughter rape. Keep that in there. No, it works better in this movie.
Fuck that.
The thorn. I mean,
why do a niece if you could do a daughter?
Yeah. So, just pushing that out of the way. Dude, so this guy, he walks up to his daughter at the end, you know, and fucking he disrobes. These chicks take his robe off. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why, but I was like, can they take their robes off too? Like, why are they still robed? Everybody should be naked. If you're going to have some cult shit and there's a fucking going on, everybody needs to be naked. It's a rule. But yeah, he walks up and he just like disrobes and then ka-cha, this big old fucking black snake with a pincer on the end of it. And it like wiggles its way and then like, yeah, that scene, it made me cringe. Like I physically was like, oh shit, it was nasty, dude. It was so good and so bad at the same time. And same with I'm just talking about like some of the effects in the movie, because they're all practical. None of this shit was CGI. None of it. the whipping.
Yeah.
The self-flagellation.
Like, that's pretty good.
When she was whipping herself, like the cuts on her back and shit, A, they wouldn't have been that deep unless that flange has, like barbs in it or something.
I think it does. At least the one in the original did.
The one in the original definitely did.
I'm guessing sure. It's the same one.
I guess. But, like, dude, it was fucking tearing into her back. When she bent forward, it was like gills spreading. And I was staring at that as she bent forward. I kept, like, requesting in my head, can she bend over again? Because I was just in awe of the way that they, like, it didn't separate from her skin. However they did that, you can normally see some pinching or creasing or wrinkling of the prosthetic.
Uh-huh.
And in this, like, none of that. It looked like fucking skin torn open perfectly. It was beautifully done. Everything about it was.
Yeah.
I think they did, I'm not sure, but I think they did some kind of like stop motion thing for when the big old black cock like comes out and wraps itself around the professor's neck. It looked kind of still shots, but sped up.
Yeah. There was some CGI, but wasn't a lot.
Yes, but none of like the monster effects.
Yeah, her eyeball discharge was CGI.
The eyeball discharge was CGI. The sky was CGI and shit. I like how I fucking allude to stuff. Like, I'm painting the picture. I'm going to edit the sky in as I do this into the video. The sky is actually going to appear, so you'll see it. Or you will have just saw it, because by the time I say this, that shit already happened. It's like Back to the fucking Future, dude. I just meant, like, you know, cuts, scrapes, big old dicks. That shit was, yeah. What's the matter, bitch? Dick can't get any smaller? Like that. It's like fucking 6 feet long. Oh, man. And okay, so one other scene that really got me. And I would love to put it up. I'll try to edit it so that it can be on here. I think YouTube has changed their nudity policy. I'm not sure. I will double check that. Because I have seen some videos that have chest nudity. They have breasts bare in videos. That used to be a huge no-no on the tubes.
I think it still is.
Well, these are pretty popular videos, and they're still up. And they have multiples of millions of views. So I don't know. And they're put up by people that are affiliated with YouTube. So
maybe that's how they get away from it.
I'll check it out before anything goes up. But so there's this sequence where the dickhead boyfriend gets into a fight with the girlfriend, and this girl that's constantly trying to get with him, like since the beginning of the movie, is in the castle with him, getting drunk, doing coke, gets him drunk. They go to bed. She ties him up. She shackles him to the bed. And it's so disgusting, but so she's riding him, and then the freak comes out of the wardrobe and walks up behind this chick and straight like cranks her fucking neck around. just snaps her shit clean. And then, in an awesome throwback to the original, he eats her nipple, or she eats her nipple. Which made me happy. That made me warm inside. I was like, oh, cool, a nipple got eaten. Because that scene in the original was... that was damn brutal, dude. Like, that caught me off guard when the freak bit into her nipple and then just tore it straight off. Because, I mean, it pulls back and then it rips.
And then the freak gets on top of
it. Yeah, the freak mounts the dude and starts fucking him. And I was just like, oh, this is like Robin Hood Men in Tights when the witch was riding the Sheriff of Rottingham.
I touched it.
That scene, yeah. I'll try to throw that in here. Just because. I might want to set a delay on this for the upload. Maybe. I have to look into something. I have to see if I can actually post it. With footage of the movie, I mean. I might not be able to yet because I don't know when this movie actually comes out.
Yeah. Well, you want to tell the people where they can find you?
Damn, you're really trying to get out of here, huh? Yeah. If you hit this button right here in the bright red, it says YouTube subscribe. Yeah, subscribe. You can find me right here. You can find me on Anchor for those of you that are listening to this and not watching, or Spotify, Apple Podcast, anywhere podcasts are available. This might be there.
Yeah, probably.
You know, I mean, those are the two of the big ones, and then my Twitch live stream playing the video games. I'm all about it. That's like a 5 day a week thing. Dude, I totally just fucking learned that I can write all of my shit off as expenses on my taxes because I'm a content creator. Like my TVs, my fucking computer, my video game systems, all that shit's getting writ off on my taxes this year.
Nice.
Shout out to fucking Hustle Crow for the solid info on that one. Yeah, so Twitch, YouTube, the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Anchor. Check us out on Anchor more than anything. I'd appreciate that. Shout out to Anchor. Slasher, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, all of that shit, at GFerd, GEEF. Beard. Beard. I used the wrong hand. I'm like petting the bird. Okay, this does not look like petting the bird. I'm very bad with camera stuff. Like, see, even this is like, yeah. It's so good. Like, this one time I was in the fridge and I was drinking two bottles of wine at the same time. I actually said that at a bar once around a bunch of people, and they're like, why were you drinking them like this? I was like, I don't know why I did that. It's a bukkake party. Bukornki. Yeah, that's pretty much the places where you can find me. Check me out on Twitch. Come hang out. Talk shit. Do whatever. I've had people follow me on Twitch literally so they can come into the chat and tell me to go fuck myself. And I'm like, thanks for following. I'll appreciate it. I love the love. What about you, sir? Where are you?
You can find me on Slasher, Spotify, Anchor, the YouTubes. We do have a Patreon now, so if you enjoy the show, come support us. We need better mics. Or at least I do.
Yeah, I'm actually getting one. I'm getting a stand-up mic. One of my buddies is donating me his Blue Yeti, so again, shout out to Hustle Crow. Mm-hmm. He is my he's my unofficial manager.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, whoop, whoop. I told him he should be my manager. He said it doesn't pay enough. I said it doesn't pay shit, but like, it would if I was getting paid.
That's about it. You can find old videos on TikTok. I haven't done shit on there. I got a Twitter, but I don't use it.
Yeah.
Facebook, if you want to listen to or read about me bitching about things, internet web stuff.
Yup.
That's about it.
Interwebs. Interwoven webs of lies, aka politics. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Oh, right, shit. Well, you know what? We should totally fucking review Friday the 13th, the remake. Just because I want to end it with the clip where he goes, "Oh, your tits are so juicy." I just want to throw that in after we get done.
You could edit that into any of them.
I should fucking throw that into this. That should be our unofficial closer. Like, it should just be that scene, dude. Every fucking episode. Although I liked what I did with Poultrygeist, I'm not gonna lie. The way I ended that with him pulling the butt plug out and going, "What an incredible woman." I laughed so hard when I had the idea, and then after I watched it and it happened, I was like, "God, that's fucking great." That is so fucking great. That's one of the many wonderful contributions that movie made to the world. It's so offensive and great.
Yeah, it is. Alright, well, that was our episode. We'll hope you enjoyed. If you enjoy us, become patrons.
If you enjoy us, check out our OnlyFans.
Yeah. I still wear the mask.
I keep the lights on. No, seriously though, I don't have an OnlyFans. Don't try to find me. I should start one just so I can keep the name on there. Thank you everybody for checking us out. Show some love and support. Hit that subscribe button. Follow me on Twitch. Subscribe to me on Twitch. And I will like dance just like that. I mean, I could literally break dance, but I'm gonna dance like this instead. I'm gonna make that face the whole time too. There's like two faces you can make when you dance on video for people. It's either you can smile and look all good, or you can...
Oh, so kind of like this. And then kind of like this.
Yeah, masked. That's like, so I'm fucking... Oh my god. Yeah. All right, whatever. I'll say it on the podcast. I was totally going to like message you this afterwards just so we could end this, but I'll say it so everybody else can fucking know how stupid I can be sometimes. So I do these groups with people once a week, right? And I'm physically sitting with people, and since we're all in the same room, we're all wearing masks. And one of the women there had just gotten her hair done, and I looked at her and I mouthed, "I love your hair. It looks great." And I was pointing at my head while I said it. And it took me like 20 minutes to realize I'm wearing a fucking mask. She has no idea what I'm saying. I'm just pointing at my head and staring at her. And I was like, "Oh my God, dude." And then I said it out loud. I was like, "I love your hair. It looks great. I'm an idiot." It was funny. It made me laugh.
Yeah.
And on that note...